Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Connor Newt here with you. We are live at BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena. It is filling up. So if you want a place to watch the NHL draft, may I suggest BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena. A lot of gold-clad Predators fans already in attendance. Of course, our NHL draft coverage starts right after DVD at the top of the hour, featuring the two men to my right, Max Herz and Willie Donick, our guest at 520, Chris Mason, and many others. So if you're looking for a place to watch and listen to the NHL draft, there is no better place to do it in Nashville than the BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena. Before we get to C-Mace, it's time to ask D-Mace, 615-737-1025. And I actually have a question for Derek to kick off Ask D-Mace.
Yes.
And I will explain why after I ask the question. Derek Mason, what is the grossest experience you've had at a restaurant?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. This is one that I was during my playing days. I'm not going to say the restaurant.
In Nashville.
You're saying in Nashville?
Well, no, it's the restaurant.
Oh, no,
in
no,
Nashville.
No. Restaurant. This situation isn't in Nashville.
Okay.
So we were in Baltimore.
But is it a chain?
Yes, a chain restaurant.
So people would know the name.
Yes,
okay.
So I can't say it.
Okay.
So we're sitting there. We went there for lunch. And me and my family and the kids are sitting there. And they love this place because we've eaten there several times. So, we had just sat down, kids were hungry, ordered some water and stuff. So, we're sitting there, and my son turns around, and he said, "Dad, what's that on the wall right behind us?" It was a huge roach. I said,
"Oh,
we're out of here." I said, "Don't worry about it. This is all we're going to drink. Drink some water," and we left. That was probably the grossest, because it was right there. Like
staring at you.
Staring at us, yes.
Oh,
I had to leave.
Okay, here's why I asked that question. This from USA Today. A Grubhub customer in New Jersey is suing the food delivery service after he found dentures in his jersey.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Fernando Rodriguez is suing Grubhub and Jersey Mike's, accusing them of negligence after he received the delivery order in question on April 27th, 2020.
Do you really need to sue?
What I'm saying.
But, like, can't you just take it there and say, okay, look, here's what
Was the teeth on his sandwich? Like, he was eating it? Or was it just in a bag?
Okay, hold on.
It was a topping.
According to the complaint obtained by USA Today, Rodriguez's order was prepared, packaged, sealed, and or secured by Jersey Mike's and assigned to a Grubhub driver. Once at Rodriguez's residence in Bayville, located about an hour from Trenton, New Jersey, the food appeared packaged and sealed with scotch tape, the complaint reads. However, upon opening and consuming the food, he found dentures, quote-unquote, embedded within the sandwich.
Oh, so sorry.
Embedded within
How did that happen?
Yes. Goodness. Didn't the person know that he or she didn't have their teeth anymore? I guess not.
I mean, wow. that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about a hair here. We're talking about a full set of dentures, apparently.
Oh, my goodness. Ugh.
Willie, do you have any gross restaurants stories to share while some of our listeners eat their dinners?
I usually, you know, there's some people with the, if there's a hair anywhere even close to the food, they freak out. I've never been that guy.
All right, I am. If it's on my plate, I take it back. Yeah. And I'm not eating. I'm not eating now. I don't want no more food. I am not eating.
Are you, for whatever reason, that one hair, like if there's a bunch of hair, that'd be one hair doesn't bother me. If I'm hungry and it looks good, otherwise, I'll suck it up. Spit it out of there and just let it rip.
Derek, are you one of those people who doesn't like when their food touches? So if you've got a plate with an entree and two side dishes, they have to be separate and they cannot touch at any point?
Nah. I don't mind it touching. Now, my son's like that. He doesn't like his food touching. But I don't mind because
to mix it up.
Yeah. You have barbecue. You want to mix the beans with the mac and cheese, you know, every once in a while. So there you go.
D-Mace, one texter asks, what is the one drill you did in training camp that you thought was worthless?
One drill that I thought was worthless. I didn't like up downs. And it's not really a drill. I guess it is a drill. They implement it inside of a drill, but an up down and get back. I don't know why are we doing this. I'm not trying to get up off the ground to go make a play. I want to stay on my feet. So why are we doing an up down before a drill? So, you know.
But what about an actual drill, like an actual wide receiver drill?
There hasn't been anything that I have done in the past when I was playing or when I was training that I thought wasn't beneficial in some way to my sport. Because you want to try to mimic what you're going to do on game day. So, you know, you don't want to get into a habit of doing something that, you know you're not going to do on game day.
Here is some breaking, quote-unquote, NHL news. Nothing happening. Pierre LeBrun reporting nothing imminent, but the Blue Jackets have started listening to teams calling on Zach Werenski. The Blue Jackets are aware that the Norris Trophy winner is unlikely to extend past his deal. No guarantee he's dealt this summer, but the Jackets' best deal could be now versus waiting a year. We'll see how it develops. He could be the latest. He's playing in the American market in Columbus, Ohio, but Werenski could be the latest player who wants out of a losing situation and has the contractual power to make that happen.
In the latest 32 thoughts that Elliot talked about with Werenski, remember yesterday as we were talking to Elliot, that was right after the Blue Jackets traded for Valan Nichushkin, who is a risk, but he can move the needle when he's playing. That seemed to be a signal of, hey, look, Zach, we're bringing in guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to win here. So I think they're trying to convince him, but I do think it's the writing's on the wall. Like, I think he's going to walk them up to free agency, and they're probably smart to see what's out there if you can get good value, and they have time. You're giving yourself time to sift through and get the right deal and not be forced to trade him, before you want to, before you get the best deal that you can get.
One texter says, I don't like my food touching, and I also eat one thing at a time. I mean, that sounds
slow eater right there.
Sounds kind of boring.
It sounds kind of boring. You got to mix your food, man.
Along the food lines, B-Man wants to know, Derek, what's your favorite restaurant in Nashville?
My favorite restaurant in Nashville? Man, I don't really have a technically favorite. The one that I lately... my girlfriend and I, we went to Alla Vida over off of, I think it's Martin and Wedgwood. So in that new area where all those restaurants are at, it's an Italian place.
In Wedgwood, Houston.
Yeah, Wedgwood, Houston area. That's pretty good. Alba is pretty good. I love the ambiance there. It's really nice, especially on a nice day. Sit outside. It's a good vibe, man.
I will tell you what I thought you were going to say.
What I was going to say.
And I'm going to say it because they are a proud sponsor.
I love Boombas, though. Don't get me wrong.
No, Boombas is good. We've had plenty of shows at Boombas. But this man eats like six Chiba Hut subs a week.
I love Chiba Hut, man. Yeah,
true. And they are a proud sponsor of our station, so we are very happy to bring it to all of you for those of you who haven't had Boombas. Jeff wants to know, Derek, who is the worst coach you have ever played for?
Oh, I'm not going to say the worst. I've played for, luckily in my career, I've played for some really good coaches. Now, you know, the teams may not have been good, or I may have disagreed with one in particular at the Jets. But, you know, every other coach that I played for, whether it be Fisher, Billick, or Harbaugh, they were great. You know, Rex was great too, but it just didn't work there, you know. Rex was cool when he was in Baltimore, at least to me. But when I got to New York, it was a different. It was
so
just
that surprised
a different
you a little bit, fair to say?
Yeah, it did in a sense, and especially how it all ended. So, you know, but you got to wear different hats when you're the head coach. And I was coming into a new situation, and it's not like I got there the first year. He became head coach with the Jets. I came, 2 years after, I think. Because it was right after their AFC championship loss in the previous year. I think it was New England. No, it wasn't New England. They lost because they beat New England. They lost
to Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think it was Indianapolis, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just caught him at a different time in his career. So, but it ain't like he was bad. Now, the team was bad. But you go.
One texter says, so Saban was the worst?
No, I love Saban, man. Some coaches... You just, if you don't know how to deal with them, you're going to be lost. Saban, he just wanted one thing, just do what he asked you to do. And that was to go to class and go to practice. And if you did that, then you were cool with them. And if you didn't, you had a problem with you.
One texter says, Derek, what's the hardest you've ever been hit and who was it?
Benny Thompson. Baltimore Ravens. They were in, this is when they were playing in Memorial Stadium. Willie, remember that one? In the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were playing, it was my first year, because I think they ended up leaving. They played there a year or two.
One of the last years of that stadium.
Yeah,
right?
I think they played their last year.
Where the old Baltimore Colts played,
yes,
for years with
absolutely.
Johnny Unitas, and the Orioles played there before Camden Yards.
Exactly.
But it was a multi-purpose stadium in a neighborhood, and they got modern. And
yeah.
It's no more.
And it was nostalgic playing there, because watching it on TV, yeah, and everything else, and everything seemed to be the same. But Benny Thompson on a punt return. And boy, oh boy. Only thing I remember was getting up and going back to the sideline. And I'm like, did I fumble? They was like, yeah. Knocked me clean out. I was out. And the bad part about it is, only missed a quarter.
You came back in?
Yeah, I came back in the game.
So the rules were a little different.
Yeah, rules were lax back then.
Yeah.
The rules were real lax. So.
Hey, well, he got his bell rung.
Yeah. And I wanted to go back in anyway. So it did. I wanted to go back in too. It wasn't like it was just saying, oh, you can't go back in. No, I wanted to go back in too. So
maybe this question is along the same lines. And because it is NHL draft night, one texter wants to know what your welcome to the NFL moment was.
Oh, man, first game of the regular season. Because preseason is different. That was like this is what this league's going to be. But you're not playing your top players, and you're playing with guys that you played against in college in some form or fashion. There were like first and second year guys, too, that you were playing against. So one of them was playing at Texas Stadium, the old Texas Stadium, and that big crown in the middle of the field. And you don't really understand how pronounced that crown is until you're actually on the field.
Okay.
Where you can't, when you look across the field, you see like their waist. You don't see the bottom half at some point of the peak of the crown. You can't see the whole body of the other team on the other side if they're standing right there.
Why did they used to have that?
I had no idea.
I remember those types of fields, but I don't know of any now.
They're all flat now. I don't know why they had that crown at Texas
Stadium.
Purposes,
maybe? Before they had the better high-tech stuff that soaks the rain.
But, it doesn't look like it unless you're on a sideline.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
look across, and it's like, man, that's how pronounced it is. But you wouldn't be able to know it, notice on as much on television. But outside of that, we were at first game of the season. We were playing the Oakland, then Oakland Raiders in Memphis. And we had been the whole week, Les Steckel had been preaching, hey, listen, their cornerbacks love to strip the ball. They are good at stripping the ball. So make sure when you catch it, you secure the ball. Cool. Everybody's like, yeah, boom, whatever. So Derrick Russell, who's the starting H receiver at the time, and he was like an 8-year vet, Derrick Russell gets injured. And now I have to play, so I'm practicing as the H. So I get in the game. Les throws me the game. I'm like, all right, here we go. And the play was called for me. It was all slant. Oh, boy, was I so hyped, nervous, too. So I line up, and the same guy that he said, watch, he was lined up over me, Hayes. And I make a move, bam, catch the slant. I get ready to tuck it in. Fumble, other way, Oakland. I just saw Les Steckel face, like, seriously. He just gave me the football. I said, I hold this football all day. So I held the football when I wasn't in the game the whole game.
Oh, man. Oh, what man. A bummer. All right, here's one.
Okay.
With tonight, there's going to be that big moment for 32 people tonight. Where were you when you got drafted? Were you at the draft? Were you home?
No.
Did you get a phone call? What was the coverage like? Like, what set the scene? Because we're so used to having all these TV moments where you have all your people there. What was it like for you?
This was the 97 draft. So it was the 96 season, but the 97. It was 96-97 season.
Right.
The draft was in 97. So I wasn't projected a first-round pick. So it was like, there was no need for me to go to the draft. So they had me somewhere projected in between second and fifth. So it was a big wide margin. So first day, watched the draft, but it was just, you know, me and my family. That's really about it. So fourth round came, I think the next day, because it's not the way the draft was running back then isn't the way it's ran now. You know, the way it's ran now is more efficient. You know, first round, that's it on the first day, and then everything goes boom, boom, boom. When I got drafted, first and second round, I believe, and maybe even a third round was on the first day. So I wait around the whole first day. Second day comes. It's just me and my family. So I'm sitting there and I'm upset. So my good friend, it's like a brother to me, Sean, he takes me outside and he's like, man, don't worry about it. Let's just take a walk. Don't worry about it, man. You're going to get drafted. God has a plan for you. So took the walk, came back. Then I get the phone call from Floyd Reese saying we're drafting you. And after that, honestly, my mom and my dad celebrated. My brothers were there and everything else. I said, okay, give me the information, whatever. Celebrated for a quick minute because I had my suit on already and I was getting ready to go to church. So after I got drafted, no more than like 10 minutes, I was out the door meeting Marcy, who was my wife, was going to be my wife. She was my fiance at the time. And I met her at church. And I told her, hey, we're going to Houston, but then Nashville. And she was like, okay. And we just kept with the church service.
So
that's how
like
it was.
ESPN moment on camera or anything
no,
like that.
No, not back then.
The scenes,
if you weren't predicted a first round guy, they weren't following you like that back then.
615-737-1025. Speaking of draftees, we will talk to the 122nd overall pick of the 1995 NHL draft, the one and only Chris Mason, coming up next as we look ahead to tonight's first round. Upcoming here at BetMGM Sports Lounge. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Chris Mason joining the program, Predators television analyst. He'll be part of our NHL draft night coverage. C-Mace dapping up D-Mace. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just trying to get the headset on. I decided to tell D-Mace, get the best take on the O'Reilly situation.
Yeah, Derek's got some low-key good hockey takes. He doesn't think he does, but he does.
He does.
He does.
He knows sports. He knows the game. He's, you know, and he's getting a lot better at hockey. I'll tell you what, I could not do football like D-Mace does hockey. I'll tell you that right now.
Hey, I'm still learning day by day.
So let me ask you, Chris. Let's take me back to 1995 when you were the 122nd overall pick of the New Jersey Devils. What was that day like for you up in Red Deer, Alberta? I assume that's where you were.
No, I was actually in Edmonton, Alberta, because that was where the draft was. And the year before, I played midget hockey in Red Deer, and we went to the national championship. We lost in triple overtime, and I'd interviewed with New Jersey that year, and they said they were potentially going to take me, and they never took me. I played junior the next year, and my agent thought pretty confidently, because I went and did testing. They didn't have combines back then, but I went up and did all the testing, the interviews, and all that kind of stuff, and he's like, you're going to get drafted, and I think it's going to be New Jersey. So we went to the draft, and they just won the cup that year, actually. But so I went up to Edmonton only because it was a one-hour drive. I went there. It was honestly, you know, in an athlete's life, as D-Mace would tell you, or Willie, those are one of the moments that you can, I can remember that so visually right now, like it just happened. When they called my name and I got to go put on an NHL jersey, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy, and probably one of the best days of my life, yeah.
Before we get into your thoughts on the NHL draft, I do want to get your thoughts on something we learned earlier this week. Your old friend Pecorine being elected into the 2026 Hall of Fame induction class. What was your immediate reaction upon learning that Rene was going to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think, honestly, it's a matter of time. I think a lot of people in every sport said, well, did you win a Stanley Cup? Did you win a championship? You know, all these accolades. But when you're playing these team sports, you need a team to be able to do that. And the years that he played, starting out with the Preds, I don't think they had any chance of winning a Stanley Cup. I mean, they were good hockey teams. Obviously, the year they went to the final. But at the end of the day, regardless of Stanley Cups, you look at, you know, guys that have won Stanley Cups over the years, they're never going to be in the Hall of Fame. He was one of the best goaltenders to ever play in the NHL. And his wins will tell you that. His statistics will tell you that. His character will tell you that. So I think, honestly, it's a matter of time before he did it. I'm glad he got to do it, and I heard all of his comments, too, along the way. And he's saying all the right things, that this is, I'm in there with every one of my teammates, with the Nashville Predators, and there's no bigger honor than going to the Hall of Fame with Shea Weber. He's probably best friend that ever played with. So it is well-deserved. It was a matter of time.
Chris Mason is with us as we count down to our official draft coverage that's already hyped up here. The music's blasting here at the BetMGM Lounge, and there's all kinds of fans. You can watch the coverage. We'll have it here. Mason's going to join us. Max Herz will be with us as well. Pete Weber is here. We've got some other Preds alum as well. So, Mace, as we have tried to do our homework for this draft, it looks like there are six defensemen that are in the mix in that first 12 or so players, that everybody's got them all there. Then there's a couple of wild cards, and then there's a couple guys at the very top of the draft that are pretty easy to figure out that won't be there when the Predators pick. So of the list of names, who are you kind of looking at? Who should some fans maybe keep in the back of their mind?
Well, I was listening to you guys on the way down here, actually, and one of the guys that's been all over the map in terms of where he's going to go is, I think, Viggo Bjork. He's 5'9". He's you know, if you listen to his coach, I think it was Yrgarden he played in, but he's like, we've had a lot of great players in this program. He goes, I don't think I've seen anybody quite like him in terms of his maturity, his tenacity, all these types of things. He may be gone by the time the Predators pick, and that's possible. But if you look at all the scouting reports, all the, you know, Athletic has him going at 11 or 10. He's a guy that I would say would be number one for the Predators, because I don't think the Preds have that many players in that mold. I think Riker Lee is that kind of a player, which is electric. He could be a game changer type of a player. Other than that, I think if you get to one of those defensemen, you're going to have to make it. This is what I think it's going to come down to be honest with you. Is it Wyatt Cullen, or do you value a D-man? You look at your prospect pool. The Preds have a lot of good hockey players. They don't really have, I would say, game changers. Cameron Reed, I think, could be as a D-man. I mean, he won the Memorial Cup. He had an unbelievable year. There's a lot of good D-man in this thing. I think Wyatt Cullen would be a tough guy to pass up on just because his size now, the success he had, the playmaking ability. He's a winger. I know there's a lot of good center positions as of now, but I think it's going to be, no matter who you take at 10, you're going to get a good player. This is a deep, deep draft.
Tell me what you think of the two trades that Chris McFarland has made so far, for Ross Colton and for Jack Drury.
Well, the Jack Drury one I think is a good trade. The Ross Colton I think is a good trade. The thing when I look at the Predators landscape right now, the best players on the team, they're all older. Phil Forsberg being the youngest, Roman Josi, Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos, they're the best players on the team. And they've got Luke Evangelista, they've got Matt Wood, they've got a lot of good young up-and-comers, but they've got no middle ground. And, you know, back when Barry was the GM, of saying, hey, we've got to wait till the next wave gets in. Well, who's going to be there when the next wave gets in? We didn't have those players. We didn't have those impact guys. And you look at both of the guys that he acquired, their centerman. He obviously knows their character, the pedigree, what they bring to the table on and off the ice. So I think that fills that void. The one player that I think we all didn't like seeing going was Zach Lowe, because I don't think there's a lot of players that offer the skill set and the attributes that he does in terms of the speed, the skill, the physicality, the agitation. I think his best years are yet to come. You know, you look at Fedor Svechkov. He always kept us wanting more. He would show us stuff, and he'd play well for a certain period of time, and then he'd kind of drop off. But I think what it tells me is McFarland's got a plan. He's filling a void that the Predators have right now, and he's going to add to that, and we'll see what happens. But it's to be determined.
Are you as stunned? How would you put it into words? Some of these trades we've seen this week in the changing market, where suddenly a guy like Alex Tuch is making more money than Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi. There's just a lot going on right now with the way that there's just no free agents that are getting to the market, and everybody's got a higher cap that they can spend to.
Yeah, I'm not actually, because it's a percentage of your cap, right? So salaries are going to go up, but that's what makes guys like, I heard you guys talk on the way down here, like Ryan O'Reilly more valuable, like Steven Stamkos more valuable. You're getting a 40 goal scorer for $8 million. You're getting Ryan O'Reilly a point a game that does everything, face-offs, penalty kill, power play, for 4.5 or whatever he's making. But that's just the way it goes, and it's a good thing for the league. But I think when people see these numbers, and you're talking about Jason Robertson turning down $15
million. Wow.
Now, he's going to get that number eventually wherever he goes, or in and around there. Brady Tkachuk, I mean, I think that's a steal for Florida. He's what, 8.5? He's got 2 years left of that. But I think it's hard to wrap your mind around that when you're comparing them to current players in their cap situation. But you have to pay these players, you know, the market value now in terms of the cap. So I'm shocked at the amount of movement. I don't think we've ever seen this amount of movement.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
What would surprise you with the Nashville Predators today in the draft? What would it surprise you if they moved up? Would it surprise you if they moved down? What would be a surprise to you?
I honestly don't think I'd be surprised with anything. I think they could stay. I think, you know, Barry Trotz is listening at the deadline on O'Reilly, on Stamkos, on all these guys, and he didn't get the number or the value that he thought was was enough to do the trade. I think, like I heard you say, actually, that was the best take on O'Reilly. is you need a player that can play right now and the draft capital and prospects to move a player like that that has value, as Willie was saying, to the future of this team, because he's had his two best years of his career almost in Nashville the last 2 years as a 34 and 35-year-old. So the way things are going right now, I think there's a lot of teams that are really amped up to make movement and make a splash to win a Stanley Cup. And there's a lot more teams that could win a Stanley Cup that, you know, in most years, you know, you just don't know. There's four or five. Now I think there's probably about 10 teams that could win a Stanley Cup legitimately.
Chris Mason has been our guest on D-Mace. Ben Gnadonic, of course, Predators television analyst. He'll be part of our draft night coverage coming up at the top of the hour. C-Mace, always a pleasure to see you, my friend. We look forward to your coverage coming up tonight. 615-737-1025. It's like a freaking club in here right now. I mean...
oh, yeah. Wayne D. is addressing the crowd.
We feel a little out of place. We're doing a sports talk radio show at a rave, basically. But we will charge through and wrap up the show coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. We did mention Gary Glitter on the program yesterday. He was canceled, but I uncanceled him for this for this playlist.
Okay.
A little rock and roll, part two. How many hockey teams had this as their goal song?
I'm sure a lot of them.
Over the years, but we are live at BetMGM Sports Lounge inside Bridgestone Arena. The Predators draft party is underway. A packed house downstairs.
I wanted to ask Willie a question in the wake of the draft. And there's a lot of people down here at BetMGM Sports Lounge. The NFL every year has their draft at different places, and former players come out, Hall of Famers, whatever, come out and announce the team's draft. Do they do that with hockey? You explain something different that they've changed. And I didn't even realize it, honestly.
Yeah, for a long time, the NHL had a city host the draft, and they do still. Mm-hmm. It's in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. That's where the picks are going on. But they used to bring all of the GMs mm-hmm. and all of the scouts to one city. Nashville has hosted it twice, 2003 and 2023. And it was a great event. Everybody was here. A couple years ago, they decided to have everybody sort of stay in their war rooms or situation, whatever
they
you want to call it.
They decentralized it.
They decentralized it.
Yes.
And a lot of the fans were disappointed, and a lot of the people covering the draft don't think it's quite the same. And last year was the first year they went to that format, Adam, and it seemed to have a lot of lag time. It was smooth. I'm curious how it flows tonight.
But
to answer D-Mace's question, there's a little less reason to do that, to bring somebody out to make a pick, to kind of hype everybody up.
Isn't that a way to keep your fans engaged and then also bring in new fans?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like occasionally, Adam, they've had a celebrity picker.
It's been mentioned by Emily Kaplan of ESPN that a quote-unquote major A-list celebrity is going to make the number one overall pick announcement. So.
Okay.
We'll see. Toronto has the number one overall pick.
So who would that be?
I'll give you my guess. Bieber.
Drake.
I think it's Bieber.
I think it's Bieber.
Because Bieber has a relationship with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He goes to games.
Yeah.
I think he's buddies with Austin Matthews. So we'll see who makes the selection at number one overall for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I do think this year the NHL has learned from some of the, let's call it what it was, terrible decisions they made last year. So what they did last year was, after the pick was made by the teams remotely, they would bring the prospect into this weird room where they would talk to the GM of the team remotely, and it was weird and, like,
delayed
and...
awkward.
It was really awkward. So I think they're going to cut down on that and hopefully have it a bit more streamlined. It took way too long. The first round lasted way too long. But the appeal of the old way, especially if you attended the NHL draft, is all of the teams would be on the draft floor. And I believe their tables were set up in draft order. And you would watch the GMs pick up the phone. You would watch two GMs talk to each other on the floor. Obviously, you can't hear what they're saying, but you'd be like, David Poile is talking to Mark Bergevin. What could they possibly be talking about? What kind of deal could they be making? Such as the Shea Weber for Pecorino, not Pecorino, P.K. Subban for Shea Weber deal, which was almost 10 years to the day. I want to say Monday is 10 years to the day of the P.K. Subban Shea Weber trade, which is just crazy to think about. But that sort of excitement, like, oh, look at all of these GMs in the same place at the same time. A lot gets done.
And watching the family and the player come out of the stands in a lot of cases, walk down and meet the people and be there. That's the cool part about it.
So it hopefully the NHL has sort of, you know, ironed out the wrinkles from last year, because I do think the presentation last year was subpar. So hopefully this year will be better. The Predators have the 10th overall pick. We expect them to stick and pick at number 10, but so many top 10 draft picks have been moved this week that you never know. And we've talked a lot about the caliber of prospects who will be available to the Predators at 10. We had Chris Peters from Flow Hockey on the program earlier. We had Rachel Kryshak of ESPN.com on the program earlier this week. We feel like we've set you up pretty well for what to expect. We will also have, of course, your draft coverage starting at the top of the hour with Willie Donick, Max Herz, Pete Weber, Chris Mason. Everybody's here. But, Willie, let's get your final thoughts on the first round of the NHL draft.
I think from the Predators' standpoint, I would be really, really surprised. You tell me if you differ, if they're just not going to take the 10th pick. I've thought about a lot of scenarios. I've listened to what everybody's saying. I know that a couple of the top 10 picks have already been moved around, but I think at this point, I think the Predators will get what they're looking for at number 10. I think there's enough to where somebody that they like is going to fall and be there at number 10. It might be an easy choice for them. They might be choosing between two or three guys that they all like that might play different positions. There could be a power forward versus a defenseman. There could be the wild card, as everybody has said, including C-Mace in the last segment, this Viggo Bjork. He's the unique center that if he weren't 5'9", if he were 6 feet, he'd be in the top three. But because he's 5'9", there are questions. But everything else is a top five talent. That's the guy to me that a lot of this revolves around.
All right, so I want you to stake your claim, Willie Donick. I want you to put it on record. I want you to predict who the Predators will take at number 10 overall.
Well, C-Mace and I have been going over this all week. To me, I think we agree. If Bjork is there, you cannot pass up on Bjork as a center and a guy that has that real dynamic skill set. That's too much to pass up. I don't think at the end of the day that Bjork will fall to 10. Somebody else will grab him. So it will come down to three things. The power forward type that Rachel talked about. What's the kid's name?
Belchets.
Belchets. Yeah, that's one that I think will be there. I think Wyatt Cullen will probably be there. And then one of the defensemen. And I'm not sure of the six, and maybe of more like the three that are more likely to be there. The first two I don't think will be there. But if there's the right guy that the Predators like the most, I think that's the tough call. Bjork's out of the mix. It's a defenseman. It's the power forward. Or it's the skilled forward who plays the wing and Cullen's son. I think those would be three. So I would say Cullen, a guy like Rudolph, Verhoeff, I'm naming the defenseman. And then Belichick, the power forward.
One texter says, who has the glow sticks down there? I don't see any glow sticks.
There's no glow sticks.
Yet. I mean, the night is young, and we are in downtown Nashville, so anything can happen. But if you are looking for a place to watch, as you can hear, a lot of people downstairs, if you're looking for a place to watch the NHL draft, we suggest the BetMGM Sports Lounge inside of Bridgestone Arena. There is a line to enter the MGM Sports Lounge, so it's filling up quickly. So if you are within the sound of my voice downtown and you need a place to go to watch the draft, may I suggest the BetMGM Sports Lounge. We're also keeping track of any trades going on. Our friend Elliot Freeman reported within the past 30 minutes that the Boston Bruins and Utah Mammoth are working on a deal centered around J.J. Paterka. Paterka traded from Buffalo to Utah last year, wasn't a fit in Utah. Reportedly, he is headed to Boston. I haven't seen what the return is on that yet, but no major trades yet this evening. We'll certainly bring you those on our draft coverage if the Predators or any other team in the NHL makes a big trade during the NHL draft. But other than that,
the three, I don't know that Werenski would be traded tonight.
No.
I think we're just kind of brewing on that one. But would it surprise you if Hellebuck got traded tonight? It wouldn't surprise me.
I wouldn't
and
be surprised.
Robertson as well. Do you think we get a big one like that tonight?
I wouldn't be surprised if Hellebuck got moved this weekend. Maybe not today.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
But there is a lot of smoke building around that, and that would be a fascinating trade. Just because, one, we don't see a lot of goalie trades generally in the NHL, and we certainly don't see goalie trades of that magnitude. So I am fascinated to see what the price could be for Connor Hellebuck. We've mentioned the reports about Zach Werenski, but I don't anticipate him being moved imminently. But yeah, there's a lot. This week has been absolutely insane. Since Sunday, Father's Day, when Brady Tkachuk got traded from Ottawa to Florida, and it's just continued to go from there. But that'll do it for us today here on DVD, as well as for the week. We hope you had a wonderful time with us. We had a wonderful time with you. Our draft night coverage starts at the top of the hour. Willie Donick, Max Herz, Pete Weber, Chris Mason, everybody's here to bring you the best NHL draft coverage in Nashville. First round starts at the top of the hour. Predators pick 10th overall. So I would estimate that their pick will be made in about an hour, maybe 6:45, 6:50, thereabouts.
How many minutes do they get to pick?
That's a good question. I don't know if that's changed.
Has it changed?
That's a question.
Last year it was too many. Too many minutes.
That's a question that Willie Donick and the crew can bring to you when our NHL draft coverage starts in just a matter of moments. Have a wonderful weekend. We will recap the NHL draft and more Monday at 3 o'clock.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be coming on the draft come Monday, starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. And as I always say, we're going to be talking, and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.